When I have a problem with you, I leave it all on the track.
I may only be at cruising speed, but I always cross the finish line.
The
racing ones were the obvious one.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something with Vegas, but then I was like, whatever.
Well, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Twinks,
a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
which is in Utah.
Yes.
Although this week they're in
Las Vegas.
Missouri? Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh.
What the fuck is wrong with me? My brain just broke. Okay. I was trying to say that's in Utah, but this week we're in Nevada.
Yeah, Missouri's way off.
I know. I was thinking,
I'm concerned for you.
I know it's way off. I know where Missouri is, but for some reason, my head just.
You know, but I feel out of all 50 states, Missouri is one of the confusing ones. Like, I'm not always sure where it's at. Like, I know it's, I kind of know where it's at.
It's literally right next to Indiana where we used to live.
No.
Yes. It
has See, a border. I always think it's further down. Because when I think of Missouri, I think
my friend from Terre Haute used to drive to it. Like I that just, was where they would go for
I
vacation.
Just think it's a little more southern. But I don't picture that part of the world being southern. That's a different. So I don't know. It's like Arkansas is the same thing too.
Missouri's not southern, it's Midwest.
Right. But I think it's southern. South. I know, but I get very confused by it.
It sounds like Mississippi.
Huh.
We sound dumb right now.
I don't know why. I just think like everybody either. I think the people I met from Missouri in life were just very country to me. So I always thought they were a little more southern.
She's country.
But then there's lots of rednecks everywhere. So
exactly. Indiana. Okay. Well, this week we go to Vegas with the girlies. It is episode 11 of season 1. And if you're just joining us, we're recapping season 1 right now in the off season. We need to talk about what we're going to do after this, too.
No.
And we're going to do something, so we'll figure it out. I really was hoping that Roni would be back by now, but we still don't even have a trailer, so I'm assuming not. Have they even filmed?
Don't ask me.
No one knows what's going on with that.
Yeah.
It's been like a year since it premiered, though, is what I was thinking. But
Yeah, I don't know why they've delayed. I mean, I wonder if it had something to do with Dubai. Jenna. I wonder if it had something to do with like getting maybe some of the older girls to come back a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe they're shaking up a little bit the schedule because, you know, they've delayed Atlanta for having casting issues. Potomac has casting issues now. So
Roni. I mean, Roja. Ronja.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So three of the big franchises have issues. Cast issues.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they also just want it to be like, okay, if they're going to delay New Jersey, and then if they're going to delay... Like, I think that last season had a really good starting point. So maybe, like, I think people really liked last season, so maybe their plan is to, like, have it air alongside Salt Lake this year or something. Like, take the spot of Potomac.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know.
Because I think Salt Lake's the only one that's not delayed.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, they went right back into production after the season.
Beverly Hills apparently is, too.
Oh, okay. Good.
Anyway, we did watch the Potomac reunion. Anything from that you wanted to talk about? You don't remember?
No, I do. I just... I mean, the biggest, one of the larger conflicts from that was the colorism topic again, which has kind of come up multiple times, like on multiple seasons. Like last year was kind of a big combo this year, but there's been other times it's come up too.
I feel I just
feel like it's not really a topic that we can.
Yeah. But I kind of wish, like, I feel like
perspective on.
What Wendy said was like, it's a topic it's a discussion we should have, but clearly some women in this group aren't ready to have it. Or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like one side was saying, you don't recognize your like own privilege, and the other side was saying you're validating my blackness.
Yeah,
and they're like that's kind of upsetting to both.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about the Chris of it all.
Yeah, I don't. I think he actually did pretty well. Like, I think as far as not getting drug into like too much BS.
But I think he did at least interact and probably send a dick pic to a girl on Instagram. I just feel like it's kind of like, okay, if someone comes forward with screenshots and DMs and of supposedly a picture of his penis, but they seem to have cut that out. It was in the trailer for this episode, but maybe it'll come up again. But
yeah,
I just don't think like someone's making that up. And then for the person to like immediately be like, just kidding, I'm making it up. Just kidding, I'm not. Makes you just feel like that they threatened her with legal action and then she recanted. And then she probably like actually. Yeah,
but you're also just reaching like that. You're just filling in gaps with possibilities like that. That is possible.
That's this whole podcast.
I know, but I'm saying like there's no like, but you're just reaching. It could just be anything.
A reach would be if someone just came forward with no receipts, but this girl had receipts.
I think that
your team Robin,
they didn't show any receipts. And I also think that if his penis had been part of the picture, like the thread, I'm sure Candace has seen it. And either if it was, she is not, she's fine with whatever happened, or it wasn't his penis.
I think they've talked about it and they don't want it to become a big thing on the show. I did think it was really funny that Robin, of all people, was the one to bring that topic up when we know her relationship with DMs and her husband are not great.
Right. Like, but, yeah, why are you questioning it?
Yeah, you're the one.
Why are you digging into it?
Yeah.
Okay, glass house.
And also when Chris was kind of like, well, I've been nice to Juan, so let's not go there. But I just feel like there's something there. And they probably worked through it and they don't want it to be like on the show, but they probably didn't want it to come out either. And now Candace is leaving the show, so who knows?
Yeah.
Just feels a little where there's smoke, there's fire type of thing to me.
I don't know. I feel like
when people come forward with like screenshots, I don't think they make it up a lot of times.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of celebrities are. I mean, I know there's different grades of celebrities or whatever, but like, I just feel like they're easy targets. Like, it's easy to go. You know, like a lot of these people have parasocial relationships with, especially in like housewife land, reality TV. People are a little cuckoo. Maybe somebody tried to involve herself. You know,
and it worked. That's my point. That's my thought. Someone's throwing themselves at Chris, and I think he was like open to receiving it.
Okay.
Okay. We also have been watching Traitors UK now. We binged all of season one of that. Do you want to talk about your thoughts on that?
Amanda was my favoriteest traitor of all time. And I don't think anybody can ever top her for me.
Except she lost.
It doesn't matter.
Season one of UK was really, really good. We're starting season two now. The people seem a little more dumb in season two somehow, but it's still entertaining.
Yeah, I think the first show probably, you know, they were probably lucky with casting because they didn't have, people didn't kind of know what it was. And now the show's attracted people who really like are ready to put on a show as a a bloodthirsty traitor or a traitor hunting faithful. And they're all kind of like
they've picked their roles.
Now they've got the
predetermined
like, the fans, the people who like seen the game and want to be in it.
Yeah, it is the whole. It's weird to me because I mean I know that season one was filmed in the same castle as UK or as US. But it was weird to me because in this one, and maybe this is how it was with US season one too. We haven't watched that one, but the challenges are the exact same in this one. And like the season looks the same and everything, like the physical seasons.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if they literally filmed this like at the exact same time, like not even back to back, just like in the parallel. UK people went to their, back to their hotel. And the next day the US people came. And then they did all the exact same challenges. And then the UK people came back from their hotel and like they share the space because the set, like everything, every detail looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Down to like the bird statues and stuff like that, that they were picking up and there's a new area now with the kitchen, with the little island, the sunken island in the middle. And that's like the same as.
Yeah.
It just feels very much
like. I doubt they filmed them in tandem, but they probably just like kept everything, maybe like one after the other.
Yeah. It just feels like they have to set up all these little things all over the grounds. And it makes more sense to just like keep them set up where they are. Just reset, bring in the other celebrities, or now bring in the US people.
Yeah, maybe.
Just interesting.
But I think they do them day to day. Like, so I feel like having, it's like, oh, we're going to film today and then you come back 2 days later. It doesn't seem like that.
But maybe they do like, I don't know. Maybe they do breakfast and a murder and then the next day they bring in the other cast.
Plus the American one was giving like, I don't remember what they were wearing, but based off the clothing, it was giving more like summer vibes. And this one, the host is in like a jacket, you know, and like a scarf sometimes.
Alan was literally in a scarf and cape every episode.
But his legs were out and like the people weren't in like, I don't remember them being in jackets. I don't know.
They were all in jackets.
Okay, whatever.
Just saying they were.
Okay.
And even the like shield thing that they had to make, Icon for was exactly the same as the first
episode. I don't care if they filled them together. That's fine.
I'm just spitting out conspiracies. It's not like it matters to you. Stop. Don't roll your eyes at me about my traitor conspiracies. Well, this is a perfect time to announce that we are going to have a new podcast coming. TBD when it's coming, but it's going to be. It's going to drop the first episode when Traitors US Season 3 drops.
You want to do a Traitors podcast?
I told you this. We're going to do it.
Fafili.
And I think it should just be called Faithfuls because it's funny. Because they don't own the rights to that word, to that name.
Oh, yeah, true.
Faithfuls with Tyler and Travis. That's it.
Even though I don't think I would. I mean, if you were on the show, which one would you want to be?
Well. Let's just say these listeners are going to have to wait and find out. I'm just kidding.
I feel like
I would rather be, honestly, I think I'd be better at being a faithful.
Yeah.
It would be hard.
Watching the show has given me a delusional level of confidence in myself to be a traitor. But I really don't think I would be.
I can't even play that little card game Mafia without like immediately being caught.
You know, but I think that's different because you're in it. Like it's like immediate.
This is immediate. They take their blindfolds off and they're a traitor.
Yeah, but you don't have like days of like acting, you know, like normal behavior. Like Mafia's like you're just sitting in a circle and it's like go and you have like 5 minutes to figure it out or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay. Well, do you want to get into Salt Lake City?
Yes. I mean, what did you think about this episode overall?
A little boring, but I guess setting up for more drama to come. But I just like forgot kind of how annoying Jen is in terms of like not being able to let anything go, because it is kind of like, I mean, it's on the one hand, it's good because she brings drama. On the other hand, it's like boring because it's like, I thought we already saw how this drama unfolded. And then now you're just rehashing it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. My other thought with this is that I like fully until like last episode when they were like next time on they're going to Vegas, I completely forgot that they went to Vegas at all. And I was trying to think like why I forgot that. And it's because I think that the team like forgot to get B-roll or something. There is not a single shot of like the strip of like any of the hotels, like literally no external shots of anything.
Yeah.
So all you're seeing them in is like on a racetrack, which could be anywhere. Inside a hotel room, which could be anywhere. And I like completely forgot they even were in Vegas. They don't even show them like gambling.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the fight between when Meredith was like, you can't tell me who I could be friends with. And but I forgot about the whole book lady sit down where everybody says they don't trust, you know,
Jen. That's on next time.
No, I know. You were talking about next time, so.
No, I was talking about last time. It said next time on we're in Vegas. I was talking about this episode. There was no B-roll.
Anyways. Okay. Well, we open up the episode. Confuse
the masses on which episode we're about to talk about. Next time is going to be
you. You were talking about next time on. No,
I was talking last week's next time off when they said we're going to be in Vegas next week.
Last week. And you were saying that you forgot they even went to Vegas. And I'm saying I only remember the one thing, but I forgot about all the other stuff that happened in Vegas.
Yeah. Okay. So this episode does not open in Vegas. Oh my gosh. The dog just dropped her toy right onto Travis's computer. She wants to play right when we start talking.
Okay, so we open up with the episode with a little montage. We've got Mary sitting with Rob Sr., who's back from Florida, and he is ready to get rid of the house. But Mary doesn't want to sell. And she says, are you going to do the same to me? Like, when she gets old?
No, he says, the house is old, and I don't want to deal with it anymore. And then she says, are you going to do the same to me?
Right. Say it, tomato, tomato. Then we go to Meredith, and she's with, as in all montages, she's with Bricky, who's being a little skinny diva, who won't eat anything that has like a whole list of things in it.
But then he's like, should I get chicken nuggets? And she's like, no.
I know. Take a pass on that. I was like, what's the chicken nugget hate? And I thought the dog treat thing was kind of funny. Thought the salmon thing jerky was whatever.
He picks up a bag of salmon jerky and then is like, is this for dogs or humans? The guy's like, it's for dogs.
Yeah. Which makes me think of the
time you ate dog jerky.
I didn't eat dog jerky. No, that really funny video where the grandma eats a dog biscuit and she's like, grandma, those aren't for you.
What do you mean they're not for me?
They're for everybody.
What do you mean they're not for me?
They're for the dog. No. No.
No.
And
then I did try a dog Cheeto. Okay. Don't look at me like that.
Anyways,
it was just a Cheeto for dogs.
Okay, did it taste like a regular Cheeto?
It tasted more bland than a regular Cheeto.
Yeah, I don't think they're supposed to have that much salt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, or spice seasonings.
Well, it looked good, but kind of fucked up because it was in the shape of a dog.
Well, they don't know that. Anyways. We also saw Jen talking to Sharif, but honestly, I had no clue at the time what they were talking about. He was doing some like hand movements and she, I don't know. I was confused.
They were just talking about how they're going to set Heather up with one of his friends, but it was kind of cryptic the part they actually showed.
It made sense once we got to that part, but I knew what they were talking about.
Correct. But I, as an omniscient viewer of this viewership, I know now what they were talking about.
You're getting on every single last one of my nerves.
Don't say that.
Okay.
Don't start a podcast with your husband.
Okay, so then our first full scene here is with Whitney, and this one's a little sad, sad, sad.
Oh yeah, awk, awk, awk.
Yeah, because she's got basically her brother, her half brother, who we met a few episodes ago, and her sister, who we're seeing for the first time this episode, are coming to the house to get dinner with their father. And as we already knew, their family's kind of non-traditional and multiple marriages and kids. And their dad's addiction really just made the existing family divides worse. Up until recently, Whitney's the only one who's kind of like
seen him
trying to do anything to help him. The other ones are, you know, and that's not they just didn't either. They're tired of dealing with it. Right. Exactly.
It seems.
But they're willing to come to dinner because he's seems to be making some progress. So he shows up. I thought his greeting to Will was a little awkward. It seemed like he didn't really want to hug. I don't know. That I might be reading too much into the body language, but I was like, oh. But he did seem genuinely happy to see his daughter.
I think it was just awkward because they haven't seen each other in a long time.
Yeah.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Except for Whitney.
Bear that.
Because he's been in the home thing for like at least almost 2 months now at this point, it sounds like.
Yeah. And they sit down for dinner. it was very, you know, there's just going to be tension, the whether it goes in a good direction or bad direction from here, because there's just been a lot of like hurt, obviously. So it was just going to be awkward, I think, regardless. He did give a little speech about his, like a little talk about what he's been doing. And he brought up how somebody said that, you know, he can be grateful that his addiction brought his family together, like in this situation. Weird. And I was like, no, no, bro, that is not the right message.
The guys, he was talking about like some other people in his, like basically like an AA type of meeting. Mm. And he was like, this guy said we should actually be like grateful for our addiction if it means like it brings our family together.
Yeah. And I was like, that is the wrong message. I mean, maybe that's like a supportive thing to say, like try to find the silver lining of like the moment that you're in. But like, that's not something you share.
If the addiction never happened, then the family wouldn't be torn apart
as much. Right.
It sounds, I mean,
who
like,
knows? The thing, it is, sounds it, like. The thing is like, who knows? But the odds are that you would be in a much better place with everybody if you hadn't gone through this. So, and he said it again later. He was like, if I could, it basically, it was like, I would do the drugs again just to be here. It's like, that's not what anybody wants.
I think what he was actually saying later was, I would do the sober living again. I would, if I had to do it all over again, I would, to be here at the end.
It was not the message I was picking up. And I was like,
that's at least my hope. Cause he's been saying it's really hard. Like the sober living thing is hard, but it sounds like he did end up staying because he did say like, I have a roommate now. So it's not,
yeah.
Like last time we saw him, it sounded like he was going to
fail. Well, but then also it's just sad because, you know, they seem hopeful and we all obviously already know that doesn't, that he doesn't.
Yeah. Come out of it.
Right.
Well, we don't actually know where he is right now.
Yeah. But as far as anybody knows, he doesn't get better. Yeah. Or the family doesn't get
better. The family definitely doesn't. Right. At least.
So after that little
hockey dinner.
Yeah, that little, what would you call that? Sob story of a dinner? Not sob story. Sad. Whatever. After that, we go to Heather. And she's meeting Jen and Sharif for dinner. It looks like at first, but turns out it is a setup because they are bringing Sharif's friend, Big Daddy. As like a date for Heather. And Jen is doing this in part because Heather had revealed that she was afraid that Jen was going to drop her as a friend so that she could be friends with Lisa and Meredith.
Yeah. So she's trying to get back on Heather's good side is what she's saying.
Yes. Which, the way she was talking about it at this point did seem to be a little more genuine in the sense of, like, Heather's my girl. I love Heather. Let's do something for her to spend time with her. I was like, you could just go to dinner with Heather and sure, you don't have to, like, set her up on a date, but whatever.
She said nothing says forgiveness like a big dick. Big daddy dick. now you're scared to talk about that?
No. So so he comes in, Big Daddy comes in. Heather says he's tall, dark, handsome, and alive, all the things that she needs. But pretty quickly
she basically is like, I'll fuck anything. That's what she says in her confessional.
Basically.
She says, Jen really knows exactly what I need. Someone who's breathing.
Yeah. But pretty quickly we realize they're not hitting it off. He gets a Shirley Temple and orders a Sprite later. She thought they were going to be whining and dining. So Heather's just looking for more of a party situation than the other guy's willing to give.
Since you don't drink, I'm not going
to
fuck you.
He talked a lot. He wasn't really listening to them. And basically she's not interested.
But she made they played that little like shink noise like every time he didn't order a drink. And I was like, he's friends with Sharif, who also doesn't drink.
Yeah.
So like, why are you being so dramatic about the fact that he's not drinking? Also, you live in Utah.
Right. So I don't know.
I mean, I get it. She wants someone a little more on her, like level, match her level, match her energy, but still it's like, why did you expect that he would drink all night or whatever?
Right. We don't need to shame, and it's just not what she's looking for.
She also was like, that's a pretty girly drink for a Big Daddy. She said that.
Oh wait, she said Big Daddy is drinking like a big baby.
Yeah. That's but she said to him, she's like, that's a girly drink for someone named Big Daddy.
Oh.
When the Shirley Temple arrived.
Yeah, that's a little sexist. You know, Shirley Temples are delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
That's like when I worked at a bar in Indiana.
It shouldn't emasculate you to drink juice.
Especially, like, don't be the girl thing that, like, I don't know. It's one thing if, like, for men to, like, say it to one another, but not, also, like, don't, like.
Well, men do the same thing with if a woman drinks beer. They're like, ugh.
I just mean, like, I've witnessed people being, like, I worked at a bar in Indiana, and this dad, this son who was, like, in college, ordered a margarita, and he's like, we don't get those sissy drinks. We'll have two beers or whatever.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it's one thing for it to be, like, a guy who's, like, already ingrained in toxic masculinity, but, like, for a girl, it just felt weird. I was like, don't do that, Heather.
Yeah.
Also, that was the dog squeaking because I guess the cat didn't want to play.
Well, well, to Big summarize Daddy. It, she called Big Daddy a sober TED Talk, and I thought that was funny. Then we go back to Whitney. I just have to say,
back to Whitney Ality.
I've said a lot about her confessionals looks, but there's something about the way her bangs come down on this pony confessional look she has, that like those tails in the front, they cover part of her eyebrows. So when she raises them, it just looks like they go straight up from her brow bone to the top of her head. And it was really hard distracting.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. But anyways, she's decided to organize a trip to Las Vegas in order to reunify the women.
Yes.
So she's inviting everybody. Mary refuses to go because of Jen, which I really feel like, I don't know if this was the, I mean, I feel like from a production standpoint, somebody like refusing to participate is always an issue. So I wonder if this is when they started to have like, they were like, okay, we have to get Mary off the show because she's not gonna do anything.
But Mary came back the next season, so.
No, I know, but then but the show was like going after her. Not the show, but like everybody was going after her the next season, and then she leaves.
True.
Lisa wants an apology from Whitney. So she's not sure if she's gonna go. Which I was like, I don't really think, do you think she owes her an apology? I didn't really think she did, but
I mean, at the end of the day, she was trying to start some shit, and like I think if someone went to one of my friends and was like, you need to check Tyler because he's been saying shit behind your back, then I would be like, what the fuck? No?
Yeah, but I'd be okay with just the person acknowledging that that wasn't the case. You know, I don't need like an apology, just like correct the statement.
Yeah, I guess. It did cause kind of a big blow up, and Jen seemed to be mad at everyone.
I think Jen caused a big blow up.
True.
Anyways,
Lisa just doesn't like Whitney because that first thing that she said with the bartender about her bartenders.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're still on that.
And Meredith is like, Vegas isn't my vibe, but I guess I'll go.
Word for word, that's what she types. That's what she sends.
And I also, she said something interesting about Whitney. Sort of like, Whitney just repeated what, she didn't repeat what Jen said. She said, Jen is talking about you. But Meredith is like, well, I don't think Whitney's in, like, I think she's a messenger, like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, she literally, that's what she said. Jen is talking about you, not yeah, we're talking
she
about
was
you.
The messenger.
Yeah, she's I was
not,
like.
There's not a thought about it.
I was like, why, if you act like, if this is how you see things, then it's going to be hard for people to tell you things because they're going to think, if I hear tell you I heard something, then you're going to think I'm involved. So I can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
This is really
which
dumb.
Is what happened with Jen.
Yeah. So we get a, you know, a trip prep montage. Meredith is back with her child talking about Vegas, which is, he says it's the prostitution capital. And she says, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. All I know is that Vegas is the prostitution capital of the world.
Yeah.
This is
they
the podcast.
Say, they say, I don't know a lot, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What if we, for this podcast, since it's called Privilege Twinks, what if we did a whole episode where we were just trying to do it as if we were Brooks?
No.
Can you imagine if we talked that slow? Our podcast would be 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm. It just would cut off in the middle because I'd be tired.
I'm actually done talking about that.
Okay.
But I'm not done with my thought about this.
Okay.
I think
Meredith. Okay, I'll stop.
This is the part where we end. And I just,
this is the part where you're done.
Yeah. Okay, anyways.
Would you have ever dated me if I talked that slow?
No.
Just in general?
Yeah.
In general. I had this exact personality, but I talked that slow.
No.
And I looked like this. Hot.
Anyways.
Oh, that's good to know. Guess I can never start talking slow.
You wouldn't have your personality if you talked that slow.
So. You have no idea. We have no idea what that would be like.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I need to leave. Okay. So Jen thinks she's going to be the hype girl from the trip because she's the CEO for fun.
She also said
she gets along with everyone.
She texted, "I can only go if I'm the CEO of fun."
Yeah, but she thinks she gets along with everyone, which I find to be
hilarious. Even Stuart was like, did a little eye roll.
Yeah. So the girls are on the way to the airport, but Lisa, they find out Lisa's coming, but they didn't tell her, or at least they didn't tell Whitney that she was going to go.
Yeah.
Which she thinks is very rude.
Oh, wait, I have some tea.
What?
From real life.
Okay.
Not real life, but from current day. Apparently, Mary threw a party for the whole cast, and no one knows exactly what happened, but Meredith and her started unfollowing each other right afterward, and the rumors there was a big blow up.
Oh.
I just remembered because Meredith's on my screen right now.
That's been a pretty steadfast relationship.
So. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened. Okay.
It's probably because she told Mary that she is scared of Jen. And then that word got back to Jen. 4 years later.
4 years later. Heather says that Vegas is a Mormon girl's taste of the dark side. Jen brought an assload of luggage.
Yeah.
But they had a separate car, so that was fun.
They ride economy on the plane.
You what?
They ride economy on the plane.
They did. Well, I think sometimes, like, I was thinking Salt Lake to Vegas is probably, like, such a short flight that they don't have large planes. Or, like, to, like, a smaller airport to a sort of smaller airport. So it's probably not a huge plane, and they probably don't have, like, tons of...
But when it's not a big plane, then normally it's two seats all the way back.
Yeah, but they're also all tiny women. Like, whatever.
I'm just saying, Jen Shaw is flying economy.
Yeah.
Coach.
I wonder if their production was like, we're paying for it, but you're not getting that.
It did seem like they paid for six seats, even though only four of them came. So they had like one extra seat.
Yeah.
Each.
And Whitney's annoyed, you know, the whole Lisa situation. So she's impersonating her. And she tries to look like her. And she says, do that. You have to look like you're taking a shit.
While being sexy
at the same time. So I'm sure that goes over. Well, I don't remember.
I'd be like, at least you call me sexy. Reunion,
right? She would probably find the silver lining in that. Well, Lisa winds up calling them when they're in the car on the way to the hotel.
Well, Whitney tries to call her first, and it goes to voicemail. And then 2 seconds later, she calls Meredith instead.
Oh, see, I thought she called Whitney back.
No, she called Meredith. Meredith's like, I'm getting a call. And she's like, what the heck? That's why she's like, hi, Lisa.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, Lisa says that she had work in Vegas already, which I don't think so.
That's a full lie.
Yeah. But she's just fucking with Whitney at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lisa is saying that she wants to confront Whitney over the lies, quote unquote. But I was confused by this because I was like, Mary said it. They said she was Whitney's doubling down on the lies or what she was saying, but I don't think she's doubling down. I think she just said, this is what Mary told me. And Mary reaffirmed that this is what she told her.
Right.
So if you have an issue with it, I mean, I guess
Mary would Mary would be the liar in this situation.
Right. Whitney's repeating it, but Mary is the source. So yeah. why is nobody, neither of them?
Because they said it.
Right. Okay. So they get to Vegas. They get to the hotel. For some reason, for some god-awful reason, they decided to write a limerick.
If this doesn't happen to me when I go to Vegas, I'm going to be pissed.
I would have been very uncomfortable. I was like, no. What
he said, the salt. What did he say? The salted lakes.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, I don't know. You're personally, if I was there for it, you know, and I think I might have been uncomfortable. Because you know what? When people perform like that for you, it's kind of like, what if you didn't like it? You have to like pretend you did. Or it's like, what if you don't have the energy and you have to like praise them? You know what I mean? I guess you would be exciting going to Vegas, but that's what I think. I'm like, I don't want to have to celebrate you right now. I'm just trying to check
in. This man?
Yeah. Like writing his little poem. Like, what if I didn't like it?
He's just let that little twink have his poem for him being, have his Housewives 15 minutes of fame. Okay. Stop stealing people's joy.
But I feel like he would have stole my joy by doing that.
Well,
I don't know.
You know he would not have, because this is the thing when moments like something like this happen, which is that this guy read a very awky poem to the whole group before they were allowed to like drink their champagne.
Yeah.
If something like this happens, then in the moment it's awkward, obviously. But then you can go back to the room and you can make jokes about that all the fucking night. You know, like that's when there's funny moments like that, it's like fun to like keep, we don't keep the good times rolling and just like laugh about, like now it's an inside joke. This weird ass thing happened and now we're the only ones in the world that know what happened.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
no,
I don't know. I mean, yes, I can see how that would be fun, but I think that's what makes me uncomfortable. It's like, I don't like thinking that they're going to make fun of him too. Cause he did something really.
Well, and yet here you are.
I'm not making fun of him. I'm just questioning why he did it. And whether or not I would have enjoyed that.
He would not have. I can guarantee you would not have.
So, anyways.
And because of that, I'm going to read for you a poem I wrote you right now.
Roses are red.
Although we might not have the salted lakes, we are the city of angels. So,
and to that, let's
raise a glass high and pray we don't get cankles.
No.
I was trying to make something that rhymes with angel, but I couldn't think of it on the spot. The way that some people can freestyle rap is fucking crazy to me because I can't even come up with a poem in 2 minutes.
Yeah. And then they just like say, not only do they say rhyme, but they actually,
it's clever.
Like, yeah, it's clever and unique. Anyways. So Whitney tells them that they're going to go race car driving in an hour. And this is not in accordance with Jen's plans, because apparently Whitney did not tell them that there was an itinerary and or not to make plans. So Jen has...
Which I'm sure she did. And Jen just said, I don't want to go racing.
Yeah, so Jen scheduled a surprise for her good Judy Heather.
Why are you talking like Brooks now?
I don't know. So, yeah. So now Lisa is taking a shit on Whitney's trip, and now Jen is trying to hijack it. She feels, well, she is going to do that. So she's getting rudeness from all different directions, which I think is rude not to communicate. But Lisa doesn't think it's rude to not communicate because it's just, it's not Italy, it's Vegas.
You're stupid.
And Lisa thinks Whitney always has a problem with her, which, to be fair, I think in most group scenes, they have kind of argued. And Meredith thinks that Whitney hasn't acknowledged anything she said at the party, but she doesn't seem to be too pressed about it.
Yeah. But also, here's the thing with these group trips.
Mm.
It's like, obviously, production is the one like making sure there's enough seats on the plane and enough hotel rooms and all this stuff. Like, they're not paying for that themselves. Or if they are, if the housewives are paying for it, you know, it's still up to production to coordinate all those things. Like, they're not the ones doing that. So Lisa probably told production, I'm still coming, and then just never told Whitney. And then now Whitney's acting like, how dare she not tell me on my trip? But it's like, she probably told the producers.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing we see then is Jen taking Heather to her surprise, which Ring a Ding Zing is a private shopping, luxury shopping experience on Sansa.
With the ugliest shoes you can ever imagine.
Picture, some of them look nice, I'm
picture
sure.
Picture Forever 21 shoes from 2012, but probably cost $2,000. And then you have the shopping experience.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's still a nice gesture. You know, because basically these stylists are showing up with all the shoes in yours to try on in your size, all the clothes to try on
that
in
is
your
fun.
Size.
That's fun.
And you're not like having to find things. You're just in a room and they just put things on you. And that sounds fun.
I should do that.
Yeah. But I will say, I mean, you know, they do the whole shopping thing. And Jin winds up falling off the bar at some point, which was really dumb.
Could have been bad.
Yeah, it really could have.
She landed on another chair.
And then the styles was like, oh my God, Jen.
Oh my God, Jen. And didn't even move
a single inch. Just like watched it happen. But I really, based off what Jen was saying, she's saying she's still trying to make up with her because the thing didn't go so well. But this is where I started thinking, I don't think, before when she was talking about it, it was kind of giving a little genuine. And now I was like, okay, this is starting to get like, you don't need to do one thing.
Genuine
to make up for what she was saying. You just need to be a good friend to her and not make her feel like you're going to abandon her for other people. So I feel like she's missing the point.
Yeah,
but
Shaw's missing the point.
Yeah,
no more genuine.
No genuine Charles. So we're leaving the shopping experience and we're going to the racetrack. So they're outside the hotel. I thought it was funny. Lisa comes out and because she's talking about, you know, being, I don't know, not maybe not the fakery of it all, but Whitney's not addressing the issue yet, but Lisa's also like being fake as well.
Yeah.
Because she's like, hey.
I just thought it was
funny. Then I don't really know what you're supposed to do.
Earlier, Lisa was like, oh my God, we're going racing. That's so fun. Like, it's a surprise. And then she shows up in a rhinestone race, like, tracksuit. Yeah, and I was like, huh? So you didn't know.
Just
this.
Happened to have this little Gemini.
You just happened to bring RuPaul's outfit from the promos.
Yeah.
For a random racing experience you didn't know you were doing.
Yeah.
Got it.
They have a pretty awkward silent car ride to the track at first.
Yeah.
But Lisa is in her confessional saying how much she likes racing. She loves the rush of racing. I guess she's been, and she tells them she's been to the track a few times with something about Patrick Dempsey. I don't know.
She's been to Patrick Dempsey's track that he races on or something.
Gotcha. But then she got a call in the middle of telling them this.
Well, then Whitney starts responding, and then immediately she's like, hold on, I'm getting a call. I have to take this.
Yeah. And she says, hey, Aaron.
She goes, hey, Aaron. Yeah, so busy. Like, as if she's busy right now.
Right. But anyways, they get to the track. They get into the racing yeesh. Lisa's still, you know, about how she is so excited and she's kind of gushing about it. And then they get into their cars. Lisa gets a Ferrari. Winnie gets a Lamborghini. I think Meredith was in a Porsche. I'm not sure. And they get out on the track and lo and behold,
Lisa
is going the speed of a turtle.
Literally the guy keeps going, you can put your pedal on the gas. Give it more gas. Give it more gas. Give it more gas. And she just does it. And he's like, okay, let these people pass you.
But you know, when they showed her face, she did look kind of peaceful. You know?
She was also going 70 miles an hour. It's not like she was going nothing.
Her face was like blank, but kind of content looking.
Yeah.
So maybe she was enjoying it, but she was going really slow. They showed the speeds at some point, and Meredith and Whitney were both like driving at around 110, and she was going 70. Which, yeah. You know, 40 miles per hour.
I mean, it's kind of like the point of these tracks is that you can do what you're not allowed to do on the road.
You're in a car that can go super fast and there's no traffic. So yeah, open her up.
Yeah.
What's the fastest you've ever driven?
This is bad.
Oh,
mom, turn it off. No. There's like a strip of road from Louisville to Indianapolis. Which back then, and then it also goes to Greencastle, where I went to school. for college, and there was one time I was doing it, and I was like, it's a 2-lane highway. It's so long. It's like 100 miles. And I was like, okay, whatever this, like, car, if, like, if I find a fast car, whatever they're going, I'll just go, like, I'll just match them, and then they'll get the ticket. And the car was going 100, so I was going 100. But then, like, fast forward 6 months, I was on that road, and it's, like, 70-mile-an-hour speed limit, and I was going 80 because I just assumed you can go 10 over, and I got a $250 ticket, so.
Rude.
Ever since then, I go 77 on that road. The whole way.
Yeah, a 3-point speed reduction.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's one thing. It's like you can argue if you're going 7 over that you're going 5 over. That's my thought.
Oh.
But if you're going any more than that, then they'll say that you were 10 over.
Huh.
What about you? You're not going to answer.
I think 105 or 110. I was late. It was like 4 in the morning and I was late for work.
Oh my God.
And there wasn't that many people on the road.
So that's even worse because then you're the only one doing it. Like, yeah, for tickets. I mean, worse for tickets.
Yeah. But I got my first speeding ticket when I was 18 and I was going around a semi. I grew up in Florida, by the way, and people in Florida drive crazy. And so I grew up thinking, you know, 10 miles over the speed limit was like the normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go faster, you know? And I was already going fast, and then I wanted to go around a semi who was going also incredibly fast. And I think I was at 90. So I got my first speeding ticket was like $300-something.
Mm.
I was like very close to the I could have been arrested
line. Yeah.
Yeah.
90.
Yeah. And that state trooper was not, I was, you know, I wasn't trying to get out of it. I was just being polite, you know.
Hi, officer. Ooh, thanks for pulling me over today.
Yeah. I didn't say it like that, but, you know, he was just like the blankest of stares and he said nothing to me. He just went back, came back with a ticket and left. I was like, okay. Anyways, did I get speeding tickets after that?
Yes, you did.
I did. But they weren't as bad as that one.
But now you've reverted. You've reversed.
Yeah, I got a job driving. I got a job where like I was paid not for driving per se, but I had to travel to different locations. And when it was work, I was like, I'm getting paid and I don't need to hurry. So ever since then, I don't care.
Yeah. Now you're conscious.
Yeah. Also, I think just a lot of bad things happen. You know, just be patient. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You also ran into the back of like 5 people.
Before all that. Yeah. When I was younger, I did.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. Maybe it was 4. And they were very mild fender benders. When I tell you, like, none of them were like awful.
Yeah.
I was like, one was on an on ramp and one was like
at a red light.
Yeah. We were going slow and I just didn't realize everybody was something. So, and one was a turn lane. I think. Anyways, okay. Let's move on from that. So they're done racing. They get out of the car and Whitney apologizes kind of straight off the bat.
Yeah.
But of course, Lisa and Meredith kind of had to say their little spiel.
But I'm also like, okay, you could have just done this in the car over there. Like, why do you have to make it awkward for so long?
I know. And also, I don't think if it was me, I feel like I would have said something by now. I would have like brought it up.
If you were Lisa, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a long time to be like, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like, okay, well, clearly you don't.
But she's also like, I'm going to wait. And if she never apologizes, then I'm going to be mad at her forever.
Yeah. So I don't know. But they get their spiel. They say, I thought it was interesting because Lisa says Whitney should take a grain of salt of the things Mary says. It's a little shady there. And that nobody speaks for them. Blah, blah, blah. But they decide to take her
apology. Surely nobody speaks for me except for me.
Right. But they both say they take her apology, which I feel like Meredith's wasn't that pressed anyway. So I think, and I felt like hers was genuine. And I think Lisa does move on. It seemed like she would.
Yeah.
But, okay.
If I remember right, like Lisa and Whitney aren't like good until season 3, but I don't think next season do they have that much beef?
I don't remember. Well, we moved back then to Jen and Heather, who has finished shopping.
She's finished shopping.
This is where Jen decides to about face on her stance with Whitney to Heather.
Yeah, Jen can't let anything go.
Yes. And Jen is basically saying that she's not happy with Whitney. She's saying the other girls aren't happy with Whitney. Because Whitney brought all this stuff up. She was not the one that should have brought things up. She couldn't bring closure to the situation. So why is she talking? Heather's defending Whitney a little bit. And I felt like Jen's being a really big hypocrite at this point.
I like when Heather was like, did Whitney make you throw that glass?
Exactly. Because you're saying, she basically saying that she ruined her party. Or like opened
the
her
first big party I'd thrown for him in 25 fucking years.
Right, which is your fault. And, you know, but basically still kind of blaming Whitney for everything going wrong. And that's when Heather was like, are you blaming Whitney for throwing glass? Because it was you who blew up, you dumb bitch.
Bitch.
And this is at the point where I feel like Heather, Jen had said something like, I'm doing in her confessional of saying like, I'm doing a lot for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So we've left the full track. Maybe this started off genuine, but now you're just trying to buy her loyalty.
Yeah.
If I do away things for Whitney. You, you're not doing what I want you to do. So if I do spend money on you, then I can say, oh, look at what I've done for you. I'm a good friend to you and you're not doing what you're not being a good friend to me. So you, she's just trying to buy people. And that's annoying. I also was very confused because they keep talking about Whitney like she's a child, like the whole kiddie table. And I kind of forgot about this. And maybe it's because she kind of talks with like, she's a little younger and she talks with a high pitch voice.
Because she's like 10 years younger than all of them.
But I was like, she's nothing she's done is giving me kiddie. Do you think that?
Well, the whole way too drunk at the last party and the like.
That's not the kiddie table.
I think they're just saying she acts like a little immature, which is ironic because Jen is literally acts like a child. But
yeah,
I do think there are some times where Whitney does act a little immature.
Okay.
And she does kind of talk like a child.
Yeah, I think it's her voice.
Healing.
Anyways, but and then the conversation makes a weird pivot where Jen is basically saying that Heather has to manage Whitney on behalf of everybody else. And because the only reason that any of them are putting up with Whitney is because of Heather.
Sometimes when Jen is mad, she just like starts word vomiting random shit.
I know. And I was like, but Meredith and Lisa aren't even friends with Jen or Heather like that.
Yeah.
And they've also just said that nobody speaks for them. Yeah. So why is Jen speaking for them? Well, she didn't know that, but I'm just saying like, immediately, we have somebody speaking for them and insinuating that she's close with Heather and they're not.
Yeah.
And Heather knows that. So this is just a very weird. I was like, what is happening? But Heather knows that this is just Jen's behavior. It's like you have to be 100% loyal to her. It's her way or it's no way. And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode.
What a kooky, crazy episode.
A kooky. Crazy.
Nothing happened except racing. It was funny. The racing part is funny.
Yeah, there was a lot of humor in this one. A lot of like, huh?
Next week is the big blow up at the dinner, I guess is what it was. What it is, like that night's dinner where Meredith gets mad and says, like, you can't tell me who to be friends with to Jen. And then there's also the psychic. Was that psychic or just like
I don't know.
Someone who reads energies or something like that? And they all go, she goes, who here? What does not trust Jen?
Yeah.
And everybody, and they all raised their hand.
And then Jen just kind of sitting like with slumped on the couch in a very expensive looking suit of some sort.
The same suit she bought with Heather.
No. But
she fell off the bar.
No. It wasn't that one.
You owe me $5 if it was.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm done.
Me four. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can give us 5 stars anywhere you listen, and you can subscribe. And most importantly, you can share this with your Real Housewives of Salt Lake City viewing friends, because that's really what we need.
Yeah.
More listeners. Get the word out there, you guys. What are you doing? We need you. Just kidding. We appreciate all the listens. I do have another podcast if you want to hear me talk a little bit less in depth, but about more shows. I have a podcast called Culture, spelled Q-U-L-T-U-R-E, where I talk with my friend Kaina about everything I'm watching this week. A lot of it is through like a queer, not necessarily a queer lens. I guess it is because we're both queer, but it's like we talk about a lot of like queer shows, but that includes Housewives and like Survivor and stuff like that, because I do think it has a big queer audience. But anyway, that is, if you want more of me talking, go there. Otherwise, follow us on Instagram if you want to comment on this episode. And we'll be back next week for episode 12, which I believe is not the finale, but maybe one before the finale. Wait, where's the remote? I'm not positive. Okay, yeah. So there is two episodes left in the regular season, and then it's a three-part reunion, which for some reason I was thinking it was a two-part. So we still have 5 episodes left. So we'll be back next week with episode 12, the penultimate regular season episode. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Tyler.
And I am still Travis.
And this has been Privileged to Twinks.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.